Are you ready to get into the Word today?
Yes.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. The uncomplicated life of Jesus. The uncomplicated life of Jesus. Does anybody here have a complicated life? God wants you to get uncomplicated. I'm going to say it again. God wants you to get uncomplicated. What was Jesus like? Let's take a look at that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. There's clear scriptural proof that Jesus was equal. Amen? To the Father. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. Now, why would they say that? Why would the Holy Spirit have them write this? Being found in appearance as a man. Well, obviously, if you look around today, this morning, there's a lot of people here, right? Is everybody in the appearance of men here this day? Yes. So why did he make specific mention of this here? I think it has to do with what he just said here, right? That being found in appearance as a man, but it says that he was, in verse 6, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. That covers it all. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How many tongues?
Every.
To the glory of God the Father. What was Jesus like? How did he come? How many know that Jesus didn't come with his own agenda? How many here realize that we are to pattern our lives after Jesus? That we are to follow his example? We are to live like Jesus. We are to be transformed into his image, into his likeness. It's a work of grace that God does in our hearts as we yield ourselves, as we cooperate with him. So Jesus, first of all, he didn't come with his own agenda. And he didn't serve for the recognition or praise of men. That wasn't why he came. He wasn't looking for that. He wasn't looking to be recognized. He wasn't looking for the praises of men. His own reputation, I want you to hear this, was not as important as the will of his Father. Sometimes we're worried about our reputation. What will people think of me if I totally commit to obedience? What will people think about me if I don't sway with the world and I stand firm for Jesus? His reputation was not as important to him as to do the will of his Father. Even his friends, family, and enemies, they could not deter him from his mission. So Jesus came selflessly. He came with the goal to do that which had been spoken of him, that which had been prophesied concerning him. He came to do the will of his Father, and to do so he had to humble himself, and he had to become a servant of servants. And Jesus said, "Who will be the greatest among you must become the servant of all." How many know that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the highest place? Amen? The name above all names. If we want to be great in the kingdom, then we need to look at the life of Jesus and we need to say, that is going to be my goal in life, is to be like Jesus, is to live like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. Not only are we to look like Jesus, but we are to do the works that Jesus began to do here. I'm going to say it again. Not only are we to look like Jesus, we are to do the works that Jesus did while he was on the earth. And to do that, we have to humble ourselves. We have to submit ourselves under the hand of Almighty God. Amen? We have to place ourselves under his authority. And we have to determine in our hearts that I am going to do the will of the Father, irregardless of what men think, of what people think, irregardless of what that may do to my reputation among my friends, among my peers. Jesus did not come with his own agenda. Do you know where we get into trouble? Do you know where I get into trouble? When I get shifted away from the will of the Father into my own agenda. Now, I know none of you have ever done that before. But this is something that we have to constantly guard against, and we have to examine ourselves. Am I chasing after my own agenda, or am I truly under the authority of Father God? Have I humbled myself to become even a servant as Jesus did? Not for the accolades or the recognition or the praise of men, but for the glory of God. That I might do the will of my Father. That I might fulfill my purpose for which I have been created. You've heard it said before, never love your life more than the purpose for which it was given to you. We need to take a look and say, is this mind in me? The mind that was in Christ Jesus. How many know who Miriam Booth is? Miriam Booth? She was the daughter of the founder of the Salvation Army. And she had a visiting friend at her bedside when she was dying. And the friend said to her this, "It seems a pity that a person with her capabilities should be hindered from doing the work of the Lord." But listen to what Miriam replied. She says, "It is good to do the Lord's work, but greater to do the Lord's will." See? This goes back to the thing that God keeps dropping in my spirit. You can do a lot of good things, but then you can do right things. And this is a different way of packaging it. It is good to do the Lord's work, but greater to do the Lord's will. The uncomplicated life of Jesus. Now, Jesus, I want you to hear this, did not formulate any plan for the fulfilling of scriptures or his ministry. He didn't sit down and put his plan together. He got his instructions from Father God, right? Say amen. It's good to make plans, but our plans need to be submitted to the Father. Would you agree? We need to pass them before his desk for his approval. "Father, what do you think about this? Shall we go into such and such a city and conduct business? Should we go and do this or do that? Father, what do you think about this?" How many would agree with me that we get ourselves in trouble when we don't do that? Jesus didn't do anything to formulate, all right, any plan to fulfill scriptures or his ministry. He simply yielded to the Father and acknowledged the Father in all of his ways. We've got to get away, you see, from this mentality of putting all my goals and my dreams out there, making plans, and sometimes making plans with full knowledge that I really need to pray about this first. But it's something that I want so bad that I'm afraid God may not answer favorably. Oh, man. We do stuff like that sometimes. Oh, but it's always so much smarter. You know what we need to do? We need to work smarter and not harder. Because we're working a lot harder when we're not listening. When we do it our way and not His way. We can get bogged down very quickly with all kinds of things, good things, but not right things. Jesus was not living a complicated life. It was a life of submission as a servant, waiting on the Father, waiting for instruction, waiting for the next move. When He felt Him move, Jesus moved. Amen? Where He felt Him lead, He would go. When He heard His voice, He would speak. When He saw Him do something in His heart, in His spirit, He would do that. He didn't do just good things. He didn't just do anything. He did what Father did. He spoke what Father spoke. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We truly are to walk like Jesus did. It says that He made Himself of no reputation. He humbled Himself. Here being equal with God, God the Son, amen? God the Word who became flesh. He could have at any time called on angels to do His bidding. He could have performed miracles like when Lucifer had tempted Him in the wilderness. Command these stones to be made bread. Boy, that was sure tempting when you've been hungered for that long, amen? For 40 days He fasted. But He didn't do anything except what the Father told Him to do. And He only spoke what He heard His Father speak. That is an abundant life because that is a life that is connected to life. He is our life. When we disconnect, we start to shrivel. We start to lose. Amen? Our zeal, our fire begins to go out. The old flesh nature begins to rise up, begins to take over. We've got to keep that flesh nature dead every day. Amen? Because it's not going to do you any favors. How many have realized that already? But when Jesus, for example, when He stood up in the temple, He read from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. He only read that portion that pertained to Him at that time. Why? Because He only did what He saw His Father do, and He only spoke what He heard His Father speak. And this is where He read, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the Lord's favor, but not the day of vengeance." That's where He closed the book. That day is coming. But right now, we're in the time of God's favor. How many know that when Jesus departed, He gave instruction to His disciples to observe everything that He taught them, amen? And to teach others to do the same thing. That means we are to do the works of Jesus. And so the only way to do that is to walk by faith. It's a trust walk. You must trust Him that His Word means what it says, that God is true to what He says. If God gives you a word, His Word is good. He's not like a man that would give you a phony word, but God's word is always good. It's always right on. And when you get a word from the Lord, know this, that sometimes it is a progressive thing that God's going to develop you into. Other times it may be a quick thing that God's going to do. But when it is a true word from the Lord, there will be evidence, there will be fruit if you obey. So the key here is to develop a relationship with Father God to the degree that we know His voice, that we hear Him speaking clearly, that we see clearly. And we can't do that if we're double-minded. We can't do that if we're one day yep, one day no. We need to follow the example of Jesus. We need to let the same mind that was in Christ be in us. That we need to humble ourselves on a daily basis, submit ourselves, even in this year 2012, folks. I'm hoping that you're going to get a hold of this today. And we're going to go forward for Jesus this year. Amen. We're going to completely submit ourselves to Papa God's, amen, plan. How many know His plan is always better than ours? The things that you may have to give up, you're not going to miss after you do it. Because God is going to give you something eternal in its place. God's going to give you something so much better in its place. Hallelujah. Papa God wants to bless you, but you've got to get into position for that blessing. So Jesus resolved to be fully dependent on the Father. He didn't have to be, and neither do you and I. But Jesus resolved to be fully dependent on the Father, that He might complete His mission, His assignment on the earth. We will not complete our mission or our assignment on the earth unless we resolve also to fully submit to the Father, to fully obey the will of God. It's getting awful quiet in here. John 5 and 19, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. But what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus resolved to be fully dependent on the Father. Jesus could have allowed the people to make Him an elder, to make Him a leader, to make Him, you know, their hero. But Jesus, His purpose was not to gain a following. I want you to hear this. If you have a heart for God and you want to serve God and you want to be in God's business, folks, it's not about you and I having a following. Even though God calls leaders, amen? How many know that you are His property?
Amen.
And those that God will entrust into your care as a shepherd or an overseer, whether it's your children or your family or whatever capacity it may be, people you work with, they are God's property. We are not drawing disciples after ourselves. We are drawing them after Jesus. And so Jesus was fully dependent on the Father. He didn't allow the people to put Him in that place because that was not why He came. At that time, He had come to do the will of His Father, complete the work that He had been given. Amen? To die on the cross for our sins, to rise again on the third day and to ascend into heaven at the right hand of the Father. He is right now. Hallelujah. That was His mission. There is coming a day when He shall come. Hallelujah. In clouds of glory. And every eye is going to see Him. Amen. And He's coming, hallelujah, riding on a white horse. And the armies of heaven will be following Him. Hallelujah. And He's coming to execute vengeance on the world of the ungodly and those who did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Those who reject the gospel will be consigned to everlasting punishment in the day of His vengeance, because it's coming suddenly. And Jesus said, "Watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man." No one knows how many days, how many hours, or how many minutes we have left. But things are happening very quickly. And if there was ever a time that we need to be prayerful and watchful, it's today. The Lord said, "Be ready, because the Son of Man comes in an hour when you think not." And so, John 5 and 43, Jesus says, "I've come in My Father's name, and you do not receive Me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive." It baffles me, but there's so many people today that are following after cults, you know. They're just into all kinds of weird stuff. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for the revelation, for the amount of light that You've given me, that I'm able to even see that that's not of You. How many know it's not because we're so spiritual? It's because God allowed us to see.
Amen.
God is the one who makes us spiritual. We can't say, look how spiritual I am. Lest anyone should boast. Now, we don't boast, do we? If we're going to boast, we need to boast in our Lord. We need to make Jesus famous. We need to let people know how good God is, how awesome He is, how great He is. We've had so many things happen in our own lives. God has been so good to us. We've had so many miracles. Even already this year, we've had miracles. And if you need a miracle today, believe God for your miracle today. Come on up for prayer afterwards. God is doing things, amen? God is moving by His Spirit. He has given us His Holy Spirit that we would continue to do the works that Jesus began. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But what it means, we have to submit and humble ourselves and understand it's not about us, but it is about our Father and about the kingdom of our Father. Amen? And it's about all about the kingdom, that we might build His kingdom and that we make Jesus famous in the earth. Hallelujah. And those who humble themselves, the Lord said that He would exalt. So if you want to be great, be a servant. Humble yourself. How many want to be great? I do. But I want to be great in the kingdom. If I'm never great in this world, it doesn't matter. I want to be great in the kingdom. And you know, how many want your kids to be great? Okay, so if we being evil want our kids to be great, how much more does your Father want you to be great? Who's perfect? How many know we were made in His image and His likeness? We have a Papa, amen? We have a Father, Father of our spirits, who loves us dearly. I want you to hear this. God's whole purpose in man is sonship, not ministry. Sonship. He wants sons and daughters. We can get that reverse sometimes where we're pursuing stuff of God, things of God, ministry. But what God wants is sons and daughters. He wants a relationship. Out of that relationship, any ministry will take place. But true ministry is out of a heart that is in alignment with Father God. You know what? Jesus didn't revel in the fact that He was the Messiah. But He delighted to do this Father's will. I think it's Psalms 40. It talks about this, that He was delighted to do Thy will, O God. It speaks prophetically of Christ, the Anointed One. That He found delight in doing the Father's will. How many can remember a time in your life? I don't know how you grew up, if you had parents or guardians or whoever, maybe you're a foster child, but there was times when you really wanted to please, you really wanted to make the people that were taking care of you happy. Yeah. How many know that God has put it in your heart to honor those who are in authority over you? Yeah. Whether we submit to that and yield to that, it's between you, amen? And the Lord. But we need to submit ourselves before God, and we need to listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. We need to honor those, amen, who are above us. And that means my mother and my father need to be honored, right? That means we need to honor those who are in authority in civil society. As much as we disagree with politics and some things, folks, you know, I'm going to just say this, that God has actually ordained those who are in positions of authority. What we need to do is pray for those who are in authority. Instead of sitting around and criticizing them, we need to pray for them. Amen? I know this is a hard pill to swallow, but this is the Word of God. Because you can sit around and gripe and complain all day long, it's not going to change anything. It's only going to make things worse. Because all you're doing is adding fuel to that fire. Come on. What we need to do is, if people start getting critical, we need to turn that around and start looking for something good in somebody. and say, yeah, I know what you mean. We all love a story, right? We need to keep each other accountable to this. That means me too. Now remember in John 5:20, this is when Jesus had healed the man, the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. He said this in verse 20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him, Jesus, greater works than these, that you may marvel. Jesus is saying, you're marveling at this, but the Father is going to do even more awesome things than this. You know what? God has placed it in man that we just love to see stuff, you know, that supernatural. I don't know. We like supernatural stuff. At least I do. And I believe most of us are the same way. We it's spectacular. It's like, wow, that's cool. That's awesome. Do you know what? You're a spirit in a body. God is a spirit. He doesn't do things our way. What he does is supernatural, right? They're bigger than we are. And that's why we're in awe when we see Father God do something that deep in our hearts is like, this is really my identity. As far as the works that God does demonstrate who he is. When God manifests his presence, when God does a miracle, it is to speak of who he is. It is to draw attention. A sign is pointing somewhere. It's pointing to him. Amen? But if the one doing the miracle is pointing to themselves, watch out, they're a false prophet.
Yeah. That's right.
So we want to be in position for God to use us supernaturally, amen, that we can demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but we have to humble ourselves and recognize the power is of him and not of us. Yeah. And we need to give glory to God for what he does. Because very quickly the enemy will raise up people who will begin to boast on you. Who will begin to talk about how great and how spiritual you are. And all of a sudden that part of us, that fallen nature, begins to stick up and say, I am. And we get into a dangerous place then, because we start to usurp the glory of God. That which belongs to him. Now, if somebody compliments you about something you did in obedience to God, say thank you. We need to learn how to receive, all right? But what we then do is turn right around and say, glory to God. How many have ever had a situation where you went to somebody and you said, man, that was an awesome sermon. With full intention of encouraging that person because they were doing something in obedience to God. And the person says, no, it had nothing to do with me. Now, I want you to hear this. How did it feel? Did you feel almost rejected? I want you to hear this today. Because we've misunderstood this too. We want our children to receive praise at times, don't we? Is that sinful? Is that wrong? Even Jesus, I believe it's John 17, he spoke that we might share in the glory that he had given to the Father, that the Father had given to the Son. We might share in his glory. For what reason? Because we are Christians. We are little followers of Jesus, amen, on the earth. And we are, like Jesus said, the light of the world. So they need to see Jesus in us. And if somebody gives you praise for what you've done, say thank you. Because in your heart you know it really wasn't you. But then you say, I give the praise to God. I give the glory to God. You turn around and you give it to God. All right? Because, folks, we need to encourage one another in what we're doing that is right.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I want to say this. That if there's a person that has a problem with wanting to be seen, and they come around flaunting what they're doing, okay, then I'm very cautious about giving any compliments. Because you're only adding something to the fire already, all right? What we need to do is And when somebody says, and I did this, and I did that, and when people do that, we need to say, look what Jesus did. Look what God did. Isn't God good? Isn't God awesome? But if somebody gives you a compliment, it's okay to receive it. There are people who that will try to flatter you, yes. They will use flattery. But if somebody is coming to you out of sincerity of heart and they just want to give you an encouragement, how many know that God is gracious? Sometimes Father compliments you and gives you more than you deserve. All the time He's doing that. Sometimes you get a higher grade on your test than you really deserved. Because sometimes when someone has shown us grace, it causes something to come alive in us. When we've received encouragement, how many have been terrified about a test? Just, oh man, I know it's going to blow. I'm just going to... And then you get done in the test, you did really well on it. Sometimes teachers will be gracious to a student. But what that can do, I want you to hear this, is it will then give you a challenge in yourself to live up to that now. Because in our hearts we know where we really are. When they're saying this and he says, well, I got to get up there. God does that. He stretches us this way sometimes. He stretches you with grace. He does for us things that we don't deserve. And yet God's purpose, I want you to hear this, and I know somebody's like, oh, don't shut down before you hear the rest of it. God's purpose is to exalt man. Yeah. Eternally in His kingdom. And the only way that He can do that is for man, you and I, to humble ourselves now before Him and take upon ourselves the form of a servant. Why did God highly exalt Jesus? Because Jesus, of course, was the Son, but He had emptied Himself and become like you and I. But He took upon Himself the form of a servant and fully committed Himself to do the will of the Father. And as a servant who had served his Father, the day came when promotion and exaltation would come. Amen? Amen? And God called him up to the highest place. And He's bringing many sons and daughters into glory. But the ones who are going to be greatest in the kingdom are the ones who are going to be the servants of all. Why? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If we can all get the heart of the servant, folks, amen, set our agenda aside and only do what the Father reveals to us to do and take all of our plans and submit it by His desk. Say, Father, what do you think about this? If we can all do this, we'll have such harmony. We'll have such power. Because God gives His grace to the humble. God pours His power into those that He can trust. I'm talking about the true power of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost power. So He said, once again, John 5:20, that the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him, who? Jesus. Greater works than these that you may marvel. But then later on He said, John 14:12, most of us know this very well, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than these He will do because I go to My Father. God's purpose is that through sonship and an abiding union, amen, we may come in to our high calling, that we may accomplish the purposes of God on the earth. And this true ministry of the Holy Spirit is only possible through those who humble themselves, submit themselves under God. Amen? Amen. To do. They resolve to do the will of the Father. And then we can also say, as Jesus did, it's the Father that does the work. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. But be careful that we don't get into the place where we think that we're the one. Because those who exalt themselves will be what? Will be humbled. So if you're living a complicated life, uncomplicated, simply a walk in the Spirit every day with Jesus, resolve to do Father's will, all right? And get the stuff, the unnecessary stuff out that's going to hinder you from reaching your goal at the end. We're in a race. So let us cast off, right? Every weight and the sin so that we can run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let this mind be in you. Father, I just hope and pray today that every one of us in this place will have received this and that we will submit ourselves to fully do the will of God this year. Father, I don't want to do my own thing. I want to lay my agenda aside because I want your agenda. I want to live like you, Jesus. I want to walk like you, Jesus. I want to do the things that you did, Jesus, so that we might, as your body on the earth, see your kingdom come and see your will be done. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will release signs, wonders, and miracles, that you will manifest your glory, manifest your presence, manifest the gifts of healing. Father, the gifts of word, of knowledge, of wisdom, and prophecy, revelation gifts. Father, release discernment of spirits. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that every captive may be set free this year. That everyone that is bound by the devil will be set free. Father, we pray for our city. We pray for a sovereign move of your Spirit in this city. We pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that the fear of the Lord will overtake them. We pray that you would grant repentance unto life. We pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you will crush Satan under our feet and that Jesus Christ will be exalted in this city.